Well, let's pray this morning and we'll get into the Word of God. I want us to take a deeper look into the spiritual or the spiritual gifts and things that God has given to the body of Christ. Amen. How many think we should desire spiritual gifts? It's here in the Bible, you know. And yet there is greater ways of those operations in our life as we continue to pursue Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And some of you will find you've operated in some of these gifts. Maybe you didn't recognize it. But God showed you things. He did things, said things to you. And so praise the Lord. We'll move forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and minister to each heart, each life, Father God. Lord, speak through these lips, Holy Spirit, and let your truths be made known more and more real to us today. Open our heart, the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Flood us with your light. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, a little bit, and about the gifts. And we said that Corinth was quite the carnal church. Amen. It was made up some different people. Hallelujah. They were quite characters. Julius Caesar was there, and he thought he was a descendant of the goddess Aphrodite, which is the goddess of love. And so they had a lot of idols that were built to him and so forth. And it was a very carnal city. It had been vacant for about 100 years. And so it comes to the place that there they are. They have what kind of people are there? There were some people that were poor, slaves that had been released. There's some that had been in the military. There are ex-military people from the Roman military, you know, that were retired and have gone out, and they're pretty hard. And then we had some alcoholics and some people that were in the sex slavery and things like that. And so it was a very carnal city. But Paul didn't let that bother him. He still preached Jesus to them. Hallelujah. See, anybody can be saved, right? And he had said, if you remember, we were looking at chapter 6, verse 9. It says, and he's talking to them because they had been in these, such as were some of them, amen, such as were some of the people that may be listening today. He says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. And that's what many of them had been, thieves and drunkards and revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. Extortion is just when they're taking money for you, right? They've got something on you and they're going to extort that money because, hey, if you don't do that, I'll tell. You know, we've got some people in the world like that today. And so here we have the book of Corinth. And Paul is addressing them. And he was talking to them. He said, you've been born again. We looked at the second chapter there where we were, you know, changed. He says, you've been born again. Now you can understand the things of God. You can compare the spiritual things of God with spiritual. Why? Because their nature was changed. They now had a nature that was alive to God, just like Jesus had when he walked on the earth. The only difference between Jesus, really, and the rest of the world was he was alive to the Father. Yes, he was sent from God. Yes, he was God, but he was totally a man. Everything he did on the earth, he did as a human being, as a man. He became a human. Came into the fallen race. The difference was he didn't have the spiritual death on the inside of him because his blood came from the Father, right? And so his blood was, he was never born in sin. He wasn't born in a fallen way. He was born into the world being the light, the one that was alive to God, the light of the world. Amen. And so how would you like to be the only Christian in the world? He was the only one that was alive to God, or we would call like Christ, which he was Christ. You know, and so that's why they called them Christians, because they were followers of Christ, you know, be like that. But in Corinth, you know, that was such a dirty city. Sometimes they would say they're Corinthicizing. In other words, they're partying. You know, we'd say today, well, they're partying, you know, or they're Corinthicizing. In other words, that's what they would say. They're having terrible, they're doing terrible deeds. They're thieving. They're deceiving. They're getting drunk. Right? They're finding people, you know, doing things they shouldn't sexually. They're doing things they should not, you know, with their bodies. But praise the Lord, God saves people. Amen. He changes us. He said, now that you've been changed, you can know these things. And he had mentioned in the first chapter about the gifts. And now when we turn over here to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're seeing these gifts. Paul is explaining them again to the Corinth, to those in Corinth, and he says, hey, you come behind in that first chapter, verse 7, he said, you come behind in no gift. Hallelujah. They were coming behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So then you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you're not coming behind. In the King James says, come behind. Or here it says, New King James, it says that you don't come short in any gift. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. How many know that these gifts are supernatural? They're not natural. I want us to understand that. Supernatural. Amen. That means they're different. They come from God. And we talked last week about some of the first gifts. Okay, well, let's look here. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1 says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed or anathema. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There is diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different differences of ministrations, but the same Lord, or manifestations. Different kinds of gifts, different kinds of manifestations. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. Hallelujah. How many know that the gifts of the Spirit are going to profit the body of Christ? They're profiting all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Diverse tongues or different kinds of tongues. But one and the selfsame Spirit worketh all of these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we can't just make these gifts operate whenever we want to. I sure wish we could. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? You know, well, Lord, I'll take a word of knowledge. You know, and you're standing on the elevator, you know. You just say, oh, I wonder who George is. You know, ma'am, do you know George? Does that name mean anything to you? You already know that's their, you know, their second person in their life. So hallelujah. But the Lord is good. But we do have these gifts. So we're not talking about something in the natural necessarily, but these are spiritual gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. And so here we see, really, if you want to, we could take the gifts and we could divide them into three categories. Now listen, I'm dividing them and I'm explaining them with a definition, but many times they just kind of flow together. You know, and I mean, if you want to call when someone got a healing, you know, well, they got healed, you know. The gifts of healing came in, if that's what you call it. I mean, if that's what you want to call it, that's great. Maybe it was the gift of, well, maybe really it was the gift of miracles, you know. Because it happened just like that. And I got to get over. I'm sorry. I thought you were just raising your hand, praise the Lord. Sorry. I got to watch my helpers. They're trying to keep me in the middle here so you guys that are online can see me. I've got a certain space I can walk, you know, and I'm limited. So I got to behave myself. Hallelujah. They need to put me, I guess, what is that, Brother Haynes? Get a little dishpan here and I could stand in there, you know. But that's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you for your help. Hallelujah. Well, you may as well be honest about it, right? Amen. There's no sense in lying. Not in church anyway, right? Not anywhere. Hallelujah. One of the things God hates. Oh, Lord, help us. How'd I get off on that? But anyway, praise the Lord. Well, we talked a little bit about that. And so here we have, I was talking about the category of gifts. Really, we have the revelation gifts. What are revelation? They reveal something. Right? That's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. They all reveal something. Then we have what? The power gifts. And they usually display power. The power gifts are what? The working of miracles. How many like to see some of that? Amen. Somebody needs a miracle. They can't walk. Suddenly they jump out of the wheelchair and they can walk. The working of miracles came in operation. And the gifts of healings. Now that's the one plural gift. And then there is the gift of faith, or special faith, we would say. It's not just the faith that you already have in you. How many know? We can all lay hands on the sick by faith. Amen? But this is a special gift that comes into operation. A supernatural faith that comes on you. And you can just believe anything and boom, miracles start happening. And then that night you go home and you're going, oh God. You know, wow, how did I do that, Lord? And so, praise the Lord. But that's the power gifts. And then there is the utterance gifts. What is that? That is prophecy, right? And then there's tongues. And there's interpretation of tongues. And a lot of times, we see those in operation more. Oh, hello. Because they are not the prophecy, really, but tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. And we see more of that today because that has been reserved for the church, for this age. You don't find any tongues and interpretation under the Old Testament, but we find it here in the New Testament. And so a lot of times I think that's why we see a little bit more of that. We use our language. They didn't have tongues in the Old Testament, did they? Amen. But it's now for our time frame. That's not the only gifts. It doesn't make them better than the other. Everybody says, well, what's the best gift? Well, it's the one that you need. Amen. It's one that's needed for that place and that time. So last week we mentioned the word of knowledge, which was just common knowledge. It's a fragment of special knowledge that's not naturally known to that person. You know, you may receive that. Sometimes we receive that in prayer, don't we? You know, you have something and maybe you get a fragment of something. You know how to pray a certain way. Well, what does that mean? I don't know what it means, but that's what I was led to pray. That's what God spoke to me. You had a certain amount of knowledge, a word of knowledge. In other words, the ability to supernaturally know facts and details that no one could ever know naturally. You wouldn't know that naturally. You know, you didn't know it. Or it could be in a service. Somebody, you know, how many ever seen Pastor Dave? Would you please step out in the aisle, you know? And sometimes you know, a preacher, a minister may have a word of knowledge about you or about someone in the service. As what? The Spirit wills. He grants those gifts that can be demonstrated, or He may use you in that. You know, I wasn't a preacher. And God used me in words of knowledge before. And in the gifts of, you know, healings, or I don't know if it was healings or miracles, I'm not sure. You know, the person got healed, I know that. And so, you know, I'm not bragging about anything, but we have to allow that as the Spirit wills. Now we'll talk about here at the end, we'll talk a little bit about more how we can, you know, what is necessary to get those to operate. Amen. Anyway, we talked about the word of knowledge where it's not everything, right? So, and we mentioned when Jesus was at the well in chapter 4. How many remember that story? Jesus talked to the woman at the well of Samaria, and He began to tell her things about her life that He could not know naturally. He's never been to her house. He's never seen her before. But the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And so, praise the Lord. And we talked a little bit about the word of wisdom, didn't we? Amen. What is that? It is a word of wisdom. Could be through a dream, you know, like He did to Paul. Remember when he was on the boat? You know, and he saw the angel and God gave him wisdom. He says, hey, you're not going to perish. You've got to stand before me. You got to go to Rome. And so he became the spokesman on the ship. They've been tossed and turned for a couple of weeks already out in the sea. That had to be something. I mean, I'm sure they weren't feeling too good. I mean, it was quite a storm they were involved in. Probably some kind of hurricane or something out in the sea. And he says, no, we're not going to die, but you gotta listen to me, guys. Let's eat our last food, throw the rest overboard, and head for ground. If we can see any land, they saw some land, just start heading for it. And there they go, crashing the rocks, and they all made it to shore. Praise God. But it was a word of wisdom. He knew what was gonna happen. He had God's mind on it. He didn't know everything, but he knew that they're going to be saved. It provides insight into future events that could not naturally be known. Amen. Now that one came to him in a dream. He says, you got to stand before Caesar, Paul. You're going to be there and I'm going to give you everybody on the ship. Hallelujah. You know, and so they figured it out and they said, hey, if you can't swim, grab a board and kick your way over there to the shore. And if you can swim, swim to shore. And they all made it. Thank you, Jesus. So this is information that can come to us. You say, well, God can speak to us anyway. Yes, He can. We need to learn to hear Him. Amen. We can practice and we can listen. And how many know? He can also give us dreams. He can give us other ways that He'll speak to us. And these gifts, which are supernatural, can come into operation. The next one I want to talk about here, he says, verse 9, I believe it is. He says, to another, faith, or special faith. I believe it says in the Amplified. Or that's what it would be, a special kind of faith. This is not the faith that you received to be saved, or when you got saved. How many know Romans 12:3? He said, you have each been given what? A measure of faith. That faith is your faith. That's the faith that can grow and the faith that can mature. But this is special faith that goes beyond ourselves. This is the kind of faith that may have to come into operation if someone came into the service today and they fell over dead and we said, nope, we're going to raise them. And supernatural faith comes upon us and they're raised from the death to life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, or there could be that, you know, God just comes upon a person with that faith and they just start praying for people and everybody, you know, doing all sorts of things. Well, what's wrong with you? My shoulder hurts, you know, and they grab their arm and pull it straight up and they're healed and things start taking place. And the gift of faith is that special faith that manifests as a sudden impartation of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural ability to believe God to accomplish His purpose of desire in a particular situation or event. So it doesn't have to be a healing or a miracle. It could be something else. Amen. You know, when this supernatural burst of faith is released in a believer by the Spirit, they are empowered to believe what? The impossible is doable in order to accomplish what can only be done supernaturally by God. And so, hallelujah. There's an example. Let's look there a minute in Acts chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. Acts 14. Here we see a particular man. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. The gift of faith fell on the man. The man believed. He began to suddenly realize, Paul realized, hey, that faith's on you. Get the faith, hit you, get, stand up. And he was healed and he leaps and he walks. See, the gift of faith can operate in a person, and Paul recognized that divine gift and acted upon it. And the result, the impossible, became a reality. Hallelujah. What a wonderful manifestation of the Spirit of God. See, we need to realize, yes, you say, well, those gifts can operate in anybody in the body of Christ as the Lord wills, and yes, they can. That means they can operate through you. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that is the entrance into the supernatural. And when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, we make ourselves available that He might be able to use us, so that when you're somewhere and you're talking to somebody, that gift comes on them or that gift comes on you. And you said, come on, man, walk. And suddenly they jump out of that wheelchair and they're standing there before you. And all you're doing is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. Because there's some things that belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. And as we seek Him and we make ourselves available and we remember and believe that God is what? With us. He's in you. And we become more aware of His presence, that He's with us. Amen. Sometimes, how many know? Sometimes we forget. Are you human? You know, sometimes we forget. Hey, oh yeah, God's with me. We know it in our mind, you know, but when we allow ourselves to be more aware of it. Because sometimes God can come like that and we miss that little nudge, don't we? Have you ever done that? I have. I admit it. You know, Lord, I knew I should have done that. And I didn't. Father, forgive me. Help me. Give me another chance. And He will many times. Amen. All right. So there's the gift of faith. He said in verse 9 here again, 1 Corinthians 9. To another, what? The gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now, immediately after the gift of faith, Paul mentions the gifts of healing here. The gifts of healing, the one plural gift. Now, why is it plural exactly? You know, it is plural. And it's taken from the word, gifts of healing is taken from the word charis in the Bible, which is a root cause, or charismata. You ever hear that? Charismatic, right? That means you believe in what? The gifts, that the gifts of God are available today. And that's where we get a lot of times the word charismatic, or people call them charismatics. That means, hey, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that God can do supernatural things in the earth today. Amen. So that would mean somebody said, well, are you charismatic? Well, yes, I'm charismatic, but I'm a lot of other things too. Because we believe all the Word of God. Amen. You know, we're not just charismatic. You know, now the word charismatic, sometimes you got to be careful because, you know, it could mean all sorts of things. Because how many know there's all sorts of crazy doctrines out there and crazy teachings. So, you know, but it's the same thing. You know, some people, I've seen some people too, and, oh, what are you? Well, they're Baptist. Well, they're church. You know, different churches, even amongst denominations, often teach a little bit different things sometimes, depending on the pastor. You know, some have been beaten down so far. Well, you're just a no good worm, and that's what they tell them all the time. You know, and then another church in that same denomination, maybe that pastor has a revelation of the righteousness of God, and he tells them how righteous they are. Even though, you know, he said, well, it bears that name, but that doesn't mean everything, you know, is the same. It's all different. It depends on where you go and who that pastor is and how they're teaching, you know, in that particular church, even though it may be of the same denomination. You know, a lot of times the basics are kind of the same, but praise the Lord. But that's the word of where it comes from, charismatic or gifts of healing, plural. And so there are many different manifestations that God may bring about, bring healing to people. It can mean to cure or to be doctored even, gifts of healings. And, you know, it can, there's an important term here. It's from the Greek word, A-I-A-O-M-A-I, I-M-A-O-I, depicts healing power that progressively reverses a condition and most definitely a healing that comes to pass over some time, okay, period of time. Often it translated in the Testament can also mean treatment, cure, or remedy, and depicts a sickness that is progressively healed rather than instantaneously healed. And I believe it also goes over into the emotional realms of the soul. Many times, how many know, sometimes people are damaged in their mind, in their soul. We have all kinds of houses around here that have mental people, amen? Mental problems, emotional problems, and they can't seem to cope with life. How many know that's true? You know, there's certain things that have taken them, and there's nothing, no shame in it. It's a sickness. What is it? Sickness in the mind, right? Or emotional problem they can't seem to overcome. And many times, the gifts of healings can come in operation and bring them out of an emotional wheelchair. Just like that. And most of the time, when we're talking about gifts of healing, it's many times, it's very quickly, matter of minutes or sometimes hours, or, you know, it can take longer, but how many know? The gift of healing can come in operation through you. Amen. Now, to me, I believe the gifts of healing flows with a word of knowledge. You know, God will show you something about somebody. You know, I remember one time I knew this lady had cancer. Well, ma'am, can I pray for you? Well, sure you can. Okay. Pray for her. She wasn't instantly healed, but over time she fully recovered. Praise God. God did a quick work. Now, you say, well, that could happen anyway. Yes, it can. With you operating in your faith. Amen. We can lay hands on the sick. But this gift can come in operation as well. Example of the gift of healing in operation is Luke 17. Jesus met the group of lepers. Remember that? How many remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus? Amen. And it says, even as they went, it says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. The supernatural touch by the Holy Spirit working through Jesus took place, what? Progressively as they went. They continued to amend. They continued to get better. Hallelujah. How many think that's a good thing? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the gifts of healing, different things. And from my observation, I should say, I've seen different people have the, you know, sometimes they'll be really strong in certain things. Maybe they got healed of something. And they get every cancer patient cured. You know, almost everybody that they pray for is healed in that area of their life. Amen. Sometimes it would behoove us if we see that or you see somebody. I've had people I said, oh no, let so-and-so pray for you. They've been very successful in getting those things healed. I remember Brother Hagin, if you had a knot or a lump or anything in your body, it'd be healed, almost for sure. You know, and other people that I knew, I mean, it seemed as though, you know, every deaf ear they prayed for was healed, just like that. And so we want to keep those things in mind, and I believe not that God definitely necessarily uses them, but that seemed to be the case. So, hallelujah. So, well, where's that in the Bible? I can't give you a scripture really. I'm just going by observation on that. But it's still so. You know, I mean, if somebody's having great success in something, it's kind of like, hey, why don't you go to the specialist instead of the general practitioner? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So it's in operation here and so forth. And as they went, they continue to get better. Gifts of healings, but also into the areas of the mind and of the soul. I believe God will minister to people and bring healing. You know, they may receive a certain amount of freedom. They may need some deliverance or whatever. And God begins to do some things there. Amen. And bring them forward here a little, there a little. We keep praying. We don't give up. We don't stop. Amen. Hallelujah. The next one here, he says, to another, the working of miracles. Ooh-wee. Glory to God. Doesn't that sound powerful? Working of miracles. Now that is something that takes place out of the ordinary course of nature. Okay? Such as, how many remember under the Old Testament when they were chopping some wood and the axe head fell into the river? You remember that story? Anyway, they're there and Moses stretches out his rod there and the axe head begins to float and they go pick it up. Anyway, hallelujah. They stretched out the rod and the axe head floated. It was a miracle, something that took place outside of the ordinary course of nature that wouldn't take place without divine intervention. It means depicts an energizing of terrific power that is beyond human ability to perform. Miraculous power or miraculous manifestations. Hallelujah. And so the actual Greek term, you could say it was the operation of powers. It says, you know, that's the literal translation per se. A divine operation of supernatural power that overrides natural law, right? It wouldn't be naturally, you know, if you step off this ledge, then you're going down, right? If I miss the step, I'm going to the ground. But if I'm under God, if God does a miracle, I might walk out on thin air. Or what Jesus did, right? He began to walk out on the water. Peter came to Jesus on the water. We would say that was a working of miracles. Also, we see it in regards to the body. Displays when there's a damaged organ or limb that is instantly or supernaturally healed and restored. Amen. How many want to see some limbs grow out? That's a miracle, isn't it? That would be the working of miracles coming into place. And God's power suddenly manifests and speeds up that healing process. And right before our eyes, in the blink of an eye, the process is miraculously completed. Woo, glory. How many know Jesus healed the maimed? That means they were missing a body part. Or how many know he can give you a new liver, right? Or maybe any parts in there that need to be fixed, he can fix those too, amen? Hallelujah. You can fix anything in the body. But when it happens just like that, it's a working of miracle. A supernatural overriding of natural laws that enables one to do what no human could naturally do. Hallelujah. Like Elijah. How many remember when Elijah outran the chariots of fire? I would say that would be a miracle. You know, a working of miracles that God began to do. Hallelujah. Or when the fire fell from heaven, right? Amen. First he said, let's get the wood wet. All right. Make sure it's really wet. You know, you got the rocks in there, got the wood in there for the fire, put a trench around it. Now fill that trench up with water too. And how many know 26 words later, after Elijah prayed, the fire of God fell from heaven and licked up the water, even in the trench, even the rocks were gone. Dear Lord, hallelujah. Whew. We need some of those, don't we? Glory to God. Well, sometimes they work here. Now, we got to remember, under the old covenant, God worked with them more externally than internally. But how many know? Permanent change here. It comes from the inside. God works with us through our spirit into this natural world. But it still works. We can see some of these same things. Amen. I remember one particular fellow, he had a word of knowledge. They were out witnessing, and one particular house they came to, and the Lord just told him, he says, well, you know, and the Lord began to speak to him. He said, there's a young lady there that's a single mother, and she's got a 2-year-old, and he's in diapers, and she's got a 6-year-old, and he's incontinent, keeps wetting the bed every night, and her washer is broken down. How many know there's a problem? Amen. He said, her washer's broken down. Yeah, well, I want you to go minister to her. So he knocks on the door, and she answers the door and said, who is it? And he says, here it is. You know, it's me. I'm here to pray for your washer, ma'am. What? Are you crazy? He says, well, that's why I'm here. You know, and she says, well, what's wrong with you? You know, are you sure you're okay? You know? He says, I'm absolutely fine, ma'am, but I know your washer's not working. He said, and then he tells her, he says, you have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, word of knowledge came to him. And your 2-year-old's in diapers there, and you have a 6-year-old that's incontinent, can't, you know, wets the bed every night and so forth. And your washer's broken. And so her mother had been there. She was there with her. She says, who is it? Some fool that wants to pray for my washer. Well, invite the fool in, she says. And so he goes in and he says, we prayed for, you know, we went down to where the washer was. And he says, now put the clothes in the washer. Now put some powder in the washer. You know, we got to get ready. And he says, you know, and he said, I came up with my best prayer for a washer, you know, that I could come up with. Command it to work, you know. Sure enough, the washer starts working. Now, that's not the end of the story. Suddenly, she realized the washer's unplugged. It wasn't plugged in. And it's still going. He's like, well, don't try to fix it now. You know, just let it go. It's working. And so her washer works. And he said he left the house. And the next day, the Lord speaks to him. He says, you got to go back. Okay, got to go back. Well, the Lord sent me. Oh, she opens the door. Thank goodness you're here. My washer's not working, you know. And so he goes in and he said, this time we plugged it in first. Went through the same thing, you know, put the clothes in, put the soap in, pray over the washer. And the washer starts working. He says, we have some tea and cookies this time. Said, I left. Third day comes. He said, the Lord speaks to me. You got to go back again. Go back again. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a washer repairman, you know, praying over the washers, you know, all my life. So this time he says, he had her lay hands on the washer. He says, I want you to pray over the washer. He said, I'm going to put my hand on you and you pray over the washer. And so they did. And sure enough, it works. And he didn't have to go back anymore. But he said, we had some cookies and tea. The next Sunday they were in church. How many think that's a better way to witness? Amen. So some of these gifts can come in operation for each one of us, and we can allow God to use us, and we can be available for that. Now, yes, obviously, right in the middle of this, and we'll get to that, there's the love chapter, and I believe it will bring us into greater manifestations as we continue to walk more like Him. Amen. And the love of God begins to flow. Jesus, how many know what Jesus was moved with? Many times he was moved with compassion and taught those that had no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. What happened? That he healed the sick. See, God's compassion can move in you. And it can bring many of these things into operation. It's not just your faith, but how many believe God can add to your faith with some of these gifts? Amen. How many believe that? Now, he said also later on in the chapter here, he says in verse 31, the last verse, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. Well, why is he saying that? He's saying earnestly desire these gifts. Amen. And we'll talk about that more next week probably. And so I had something I was going to share this week, but I think I'll leave us there for right now. Let's just stop right there. We see some of these things happening. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that there are gifts available to the body of Christ? There's gifts of healing. There's workings of miracles. There's demonstrations of faith, special faith that can come upon us. But how many know? We got to realize they exist, number one. Some of the church doesn't even believe they're available, but they are. And I know you guys know that. But when we begin to understand, and we get a little more understanding, and we can begin to, he says what? Earnestly desire. Desire God to use you in some of these things. Amen? When we get our desire up, how many know? When we get our faith going, we get our expectancy up, what happens? God begins to move. Amen? How many are expecting God to move? Amen. We're going to move, and he will. But one of the things that we really need to realize is that we have to be aware, you know, that he's with us. And sometimes that can prevent us from walking in the gifts, where we don't have the sense of the reality that God's with you. Amen. How many know that's one reason we pray, right? In the Spirit, we stay in there, and we continue to pray. And times it helps us be aware that God's with us. All right. And we know that he's with us sometimes in our mind, but are we aware? Do we talk to him when we're walking down the way? Amen. I know some of you do, and many of you do. But let's continue. Let's continue to pursue. Let's continue to be thankful. Let God move and be available. At least be available. Amen. And let's believe God that he's going to use us in a lot of these. A lot of times they'll come to us in our own personal lives, you know, before he ever really displays, even in a public way. He may just show you things to pray for, things that he'll do. Amen. He'll use you out on the street or with your neighbor. We can believe God. Hallelujah. So one thing we're working on Wednesday nights, isn't it? Each one reach one, thinking about somebody else. Not just about our own selves all the time. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Doug. I know it is. Thank you. You know, hallelujah. Amen. So, let's prayer. If you came this morning, hallelujah, let's just pray. And let's ask God. Let's just say, Lord, I want to desire these things. Help me, Lord, you know, and in our prayer time, begin to talk to him, okay? But I'm going to pray right now. Father, we just thank you that we can earnestly desire the gifts, and we want to see these things more and more in manifestation. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us as we pray and as we spend time with you, that we'll develop that being more aware that you're with us, Lord, and being available, that you can flow wherever we are, not just in our church, not just in our own prayer times, but whenever, Lord, and wherever you choose, Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive to you. We want to know that you're with us, and we want to be aware. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.